Beautiful, beautiful prayer and song. When I came across that this week, I felt that it was perfect as we commence this series called Renewed, Daily Practices for Life. There are times in our lives when it becomes apparent, well, more than one thing, apparent that God is interested in doing a new thing within us. And it can coincide with, you know, the changing of the year, the changing of the seasons, the changing of life's circumstances, or the changing of even a physical location. But God is interested in moving each of us from time to time into a more deeper and a more meaningful relationship with Him. Now, I don't know about you, but that can be scary. Moving us, if we allow God's Holy Spirit to work to its fullness in our lives, to move us deeper, wow, it can be hard. It can be confusing. Either way, if we can recognize these times when God wants to renew us, when God wants to move us deeper, we can kind of lean in and allow Him to do His good work. And so today we begin this four-week sermon series called Renewed. And in my experience, the work that God wants to do in us is holistic in nature. God's renewal is as much for our physical being as it is for our inner being. There is a depth to us that is soul and spirit. And God desires for our spirit to be renewed. Life can be hard. We all know that. Life can have trials that we face that can cause our spirits to become weary. Relational conflict can cause deep sorrow. Financial woes can be stressful. Even every time we go to the grocery store this time, with food insecurity and the rising of prices and inflation, can be stressful. Disappointments can be so discouraging. All of these and more have a way of affecting our spiritual state. However, there is one thing above everything else that causes us to need renewal in our spirit, and that is sin. The Bible tells us that we were each born with a sinful nature that has been handed down from the fall in chapter 3 of Genesis. And since Adam and Eve disregarded God and decided to go their own way and to live for themselves, well, we've basically been following suit, haven't we? So when sin is in our lives, our spirit becomes dark and disconnects us from God. You see, sin in our lives is a rejection of God, and without renewal of our spirits, we are destined to spend eternity apart from God. So we must be renewed. When I see sin, or when we see sin in the church does not grow. But when we are each individual are renewed in their spirit, we see the church growing. And so when we invite Jesus into our lives to forgive us and to give us the strength to live differently, our spirit and our soul becomes renewed. And so this morning we look at a renewed spirit is a clean spirit. In the Old Testament, King David wrote a psalm in the wake of his sinful actions with Bathsheba. And after his adulterous affair and the murder of Bathsheba's husband, David's spirit was dark. His sin harmed his relationship with God, and it harmed his relationship with others, just like sin always does. In Psalm 51, David cries out to God for renewal. Why don't you just turn to Psalm 51 now if you have your Bibles or your devices with you. Psalm 51. And verse 10. Create. It's his prayer. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. You almost feel like there should be a big but here. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Maybe you can relate to these words that David pens here. Does sinful attitudes exist in us? Do we hold on to the unimportant things that cause us to sin in our hearts and words to come out of our mouths? Yet here is David. He's desperately crying for forgiveness. It's a deep repentance. He acknowledges that the state of his spirit influences our connection with our Creator, and he is heartbroken over his actions. And the thing David prays for and is asking for is renewal. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This psalm and others are the very reason that David is referred to in the scriptures as the man after God's own heart. It was not because David was perfect. It was not because David was flawless. It was because David was willing, his willful obedience, to confront his sin and ask God for forgiveness and restoration. A person who has a renewed spirit is a person who longs to be right with God and willing to repent of sin to have a fresh and clean heart. The question for you and I, do we get heartbroken over sin? Does it grieve us? Does it grieve us when we say something that we know we shouldn't have said? Does it grieve us in our hearts when we just want to have our own way and we put our backs up? Do we long for renewal? Do we long for change? There are stories all over the scriptures of individuals who, through repentance, experienced a renewed spirit. And one is the story of a man named Zacchaeus. And his story is found in Luke chapter 19. And we're going to just look at a couple of verses there this morning. This man, Zacchaeus, is described in some significant ways. Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see Jesus. Or he wanted to see who Jesus was. But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead, and he was energetic, and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way, because Jesus was passing through. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." And so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And then look what happens. All the people saw this and they began to mutter. One of our administrative assistants in another appointment used to say, "Mutter, mutter, mutter. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." You see, Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector. He was a Jew. He was seen to be as a sympathizer with Rome. He was seen to be a thief. And many tax collectors in those days would overcharge individuals to take some off the top so that they could become rich. And so therefore, Zacchaeus was rich. And this was likely true because he did take advantage of the clients that he served. Zacchaeus was probably aware of his bad reputation and his corrupt heart. Maybe sometimes we are aware of our corrupt hearts or our bad reputation. Sometimes we are fully aware of our broken spirit, but we ignore it. Maybe for Zacchaeus, this is the reason that he wants to see Jesus so badly when Jesus is passing through. The Bible tells us that Zacchaeus is so short he must climb a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus. And so our desire for Jesus from the story in Zacchaeus is seen in our actions. In the first four verses of this passage, we see a key component in experiencing a renewed spirit. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. It seems simple, but many individuals never get there. Far too many of us never develop the desire to see Jesus in our lives. We certainly would not do the hard work that Zacchaeus goes through to climb a tree to get a better vantage point of the Savior. But people who know their spirits are wary, are desperate to get a glimpse of Jesus. How much do you want Jesus to change your life? Would you be willing to do anything for him? To have him renew your spirit? Maybe it's not climbing a tree, like in this story, but it's drawing near to God through prayer, through good counsel, or honesty with him. You see, a surprising twist happens in this story as Jesus looks up at Zacchaeus and acknowledges him and very adamantly says, you know, you just climbed up there, but you got to come down now. And Jesus intends to go to Zacchaeus' house for tea and spend time with him. Can you just imagine this man's excitement? Maybe his fear. Maybe that mix of emotions as the Messiah that he has been hearing about and that he wants so desperately to see wants to come to his house. Suddenly a man who was too short, a tax collector, a thief, and hated by many, was going to be hosting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This was God's way of saying, no one is too far gone that I will not come to rescue them. Everyone who was standing there was mumbling and muttering about how Jesus was going to spend time with a sinful tax collector. How could he possibly do such a thing? But you know what? They had missed the point. They had missed the point. He goes after those who are far from him and who are weary in spirit. Maybe it is encouraging to you today to know that Jesus, wherever we are in our relationship with him, is coming after you to move you deeper and deeper. We are not too far gone. Jesus extends his grace and his love. Zacchaeus' response to Jesus wanting to come to his house tells you everything you need to know about how eager he is to experience renewal. He repents. He does what David did in Psalm 51. The real question is, how do we respond? If our sin has harmed others, we demonstrate our desire for Jesus by making it right. If our sin harms our relationship with God, we demonstrate our desire for Jesus by making a change. And so therefore, as we are renewed, renewal requires repentance. You see, the word repent, and you've probably heard this many times, means that 180 degree turn. It means no longer continue the way we were going in life, the way we have chosen. It means we're going to turn right around and we're going to go in the other direction. And so Zacchaeus promises to give half of his possessions to the poor. He promises to pay back four times as much from anyone he stole from. And for this man, this is what repentance looked like. For you and me, it may look like something different. When we encounter Jesus in a life-changing experience, and when we ask God to forgive us, it means our life will never be the same. Either way, repentance should be followed by evidence. You see, Zacchaeus experiences salvation based on his response to Jesus' invitation to come, and spend time with him. Guess who initiates this? Jesus. Jesus initiates it. But Zacchaeus' renewal takes place because of his obedient and humble response. And so at the very end of this passage, Jesus gives us a glimpse into his mission here on earth. He says that he has come to seek and save that which is lost. He has come to pursue Zacchaeus. He has come to pursue you as well. And we sang earlier that beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You see, this hymn was written by John Newton, a man who was a former enslaver. And in 1748, many, many years ago, he was on board a slaving ship. It was called the Greyhound, and the ship was in bad shape. And during this violent storm, as the winds and waves were howling, it began to fall apart and take on water. That would be one of my worst nightmares. And a crew member was swept overboard. And all night long, Newton tried to keep the ship from going under, and he thought about the state of life, of his life. And he knew he had run from God, hurt other people, made a wreck out of his own situation. And Newton realized, you know what? Maybe I'm going to die in this storm. Would God still be forgiving, even if Newton had rejected him? And at last, Newton recalled what his mother had taught him from the Bible. God loves to show mercy, even to people who feel that they are beyond redemption. Newton asked for God's help for the first time in years. He was fully aware of the wretch that he was. He knew where he had come from. He knew that he had been lost. He knew he needed renewal, and he found the grace of God, and that grace brought renewal to his spirit. And he penned one of the most beautiful songs ever, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And so lastly this morning, we're to be transformed by grace. I wonder what keeps us from responding to the invitation of Jesus. When Jesus says, come, do we run the other way? Or do we run through the crowds, and climb a tree, or do whatever it is we need to do so that we see Jesus? What keeps us from responding and our willingness to repent? Maybe we believe we don't deserve his grace. The grace of God cannot be earned. It is a gift that is extended to each of us. And all we do with it is receive it, embrace it, and be transformed by it. So where does that leave us today? Where does that leave us? We need to pinpoint our sin. We need to pinpoint our sin. In order to grow individually, we have to pinpoint our sin. We need to trust God's grace for us. We have to trust God's grace for us. We need to embrace God's grace for us. And we need to extend God's grace. You see the progression there? We pinpoint our sin. Our hearts are cleansed. We trust God's grace for renewal. We embrace it, God's grace for us. And then we take it that one step further and we extend God's grace to others. You might say, well, I don't wax eloquently. I don't have a theological background. I don't have the training. I don't have this. I don't have that. Yeah, we can all say that. But you know what? One of the things that I experienced this week was as we were meeting here on Wednesdays for Cafe Connection, and a number of our friends were joining us for coffee and tea and friendship and building relationships. A gentleman came through the door, and he said to me, oh, I can't come in there. I've got snow and mud on my shoes. I said, oh, that's okay. Don't worry about it. That's fine. No, I can't. I can't. I said, you're more than welcome to come in. He went back out. He dusted the snow wet off his feet and off his boots, proceeded to give him a cup of coffee and a treat. And he looked at me and he said, "Thank you. You have just made my day." When we extend grace to others in its simplest form, a cup of coffee or a cup of water given in the name of Jesus, no judgment, accepting us as we are, people as they are, just as Jesus accepts us. Would you like to experience that renewed spirit within you today? We can. Each of us can. We can start fresh again today. It just requires a simple prayer. And I invite you to pray this prayer with me this morning. God, forgive me for my sin. I know it hurts your heart and disconnects me from you. Fill me with your spirit and empower me to live a life that is in line with your will. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost. I once was lost, but now I am found. Amen. I wonder if we can just sing this morning, "This is my desire, to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, everything. Now, I can't guarantee that all of us are rich in this room or listening to it, but everything that we have, everything within our hearts, the things that stir us, the things that annoy us, the things that make us go mutter, 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 God takes. He takes it and he renews our heart and mind. And so this morning, is this your desire? Is it your desire? Lord, with all my heart, all I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you." As we sing this in just an attitude of prayer, maybe, and this is impromptu, not really planned, but just maybe, there's someone here this morning that this exercise might be helpful for. Just feel God saying this, whether it's someone here in person or whether it's someone online. Maybe there's a sin or a prayer of desire, something in your life that you just need that physical way of saying, "Here you go, Lord. I want to give this to you right now." Maybe it's a circumstance. Maybe it's family situation. Maybe, who knows? Who knows? But I'm going to give you the opportunity to just come and stand in his presence. Say, "Lord, here I am, all of me. Take this," and maybe write down on the piece of paper, something that's in your life. And afterwards, I promise I will not look. I will take them and I will put them through the shredder. And just as they go through the shredder, Jesus takes them and they're gone forevermore. But I just encourage you, maybe this might be helpful for you, just to come and to pray and say, you know, life's tough these days. Life's tough. And I've got this sin that I'm trying to deal with rather than letting God deal with it. Lord, right now I just want to give it to you. I want to renew my heart and my mind for you. And so the opportunity is there for us to do that as we just sing quietly, "This is my desire to honor you."
This is my desire. Thank you. I give you praise. All that I know is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire, to
circumstances. But yet, Lord, you give us a sense of renewal for the weary heart. And so, Father, today, as we leave this place in a few moments, we leave knowing that our desire, that your desire is that you pursue us. And in turn, our desire is to serve and to be like you. And so, Father God, as we leave this place in just a few moments, we pray your blessing on us. We thank you for the privilege that we'll have of coming back out tonight to start the series, The Chosen. And a number of our community friends will also be joining us. And Father God, we just pray, Lord, that as we look at the life of Christ together, that you will indeed, as we walk towards the, as we walk into the Easter experience, that you will walk alongside of us and cause us to grow. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.